You're listening to They Are the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge.
What?
I was gonna do the Pledge of Allegiance, and I forgot I was gonna do my stories.
Well, why don't you go ahead and do the pledge?
All right.
We have plenty of time.
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't go away, folks. Get your kids in the living room. Tonight, Pooh's going to read them some stories. She's 5 years old, and I'm extremely proud of her. She began reading when she was 3 years old. When she became 4, something happened and she forgot everything that she'd learned when she was 3. And now, she's reading again just like she did before, and much better, I must tell you. She's never been to school a day in her life. And if I can help it, she never will.
My country is of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing, land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountain side let freedom. My native country be, land of the noble free. Thy name, my love, I love thy rocks and hills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart after thrills like that above.
Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom's song.
Let mortal tongues awake, let all that grief partake, let rocks their silence break the sound, oh God.
So you're going to read us some stories, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the first one?
Hickory Dickory Dock.
Okay. We're ready.
All right. Hickory Dickory Dock. The mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck one. The mouse ran down Hickory Dickory Dock.
That's pretty good. Now, those people out there can't see you. Did you memorize that?
Huh?
Did you memorize that? They can't see you out there. Did you memorize it, or are you reading from a book?
I'm reading from the book.
Well, I just want to make sure they know it. You look at me so funny. See, they can't see. I know that I know and you know, but they don't know. Do you have some other stories?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me find some. Well, the second one is the three little pigs. All right, here we go. This little pig went to the market. No, wait. I got it wrong. He didn't say to the market.
Ah, that's good.
It said, this little pig went to market. This little pig stayed home. This little pig had roast beef. This little pig had none. And this little pig cried wee, wee, wee all the way home.
That's very good. Do you have some more?
I think so.
Okay.
Let me see.
You can look. Ah, who's that guy sitting in the chair there? Can you read that one?
I don't know.
Well, give it a try. That's how you get better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to look at the Queen.
That's right. Boy, I didn't think you'd get that one.
All right.
Go ahead.
Pussycat, pussycat. Does that say with?
No, make the sounds. Remember how you learned to do it.
All right. W-h-at.
And what is that word?
Where?
That's right, except you didn't pronounce the last letter.
Where? Where?
No. Do you see an R in there? There's no R.
No.
Okay. Try it again.
W-h-at. I don't get it.
You don't get it?
I don't get it.
Okay. What's H-A-T?
Hat.
Put a W in front of it.
All right. What?
That's right. What? You got it.
What did you three?
No. Sound it out again.
Three?
No, it's not three, honey. It would be three if the R was in front of the E.
Oh.
So try it again. What is T-H-E?
The.
Now just put the R-E on the end.
Right. Three?
No, no. Stop trying to make it three, honey. What is T-H-E?
The. Three.
Okay, say it. All together.
Three?
No. That E is silent. You don't pronounce that E. Okay, just say, what do the first three letters say?
The. Three?
No, forget about the E, honey.
All right.
Just make the R sound.
All right. The.
Okay, what's T-H-E?
The.
Now just make the R sound on the end and you've got it.
The.
The. And what's the R sound?
The.
Okay, now say it together.
The.
There. There. There.
All right.
Okay, let's say, say the letters so you know to do it next time.
There.
Okay.
I
That's a hard one. So I'm going to give you this one because it's a big word and it's very hard for a little girl.
Fright.
Frightened.
Frightened.
Fright.
Fright.
In.
In.
The.
Frightened.
Okay.
Frightened a little mouse. Yeah. In. The. I don't get it again.
What's you in?
Yen.
Un.
Un.
Un. What's the U sound? Un.
Un.
D.
D.
Now say it together.
Un. I can't.
What's D-E-R? Just the D-E-R. Forget about the other.
Right. Dar?
No, there's not an A there. It's an E. D-E-R.
D-E-R.
Say it.
Dar?
Okay, put U-N before it. And say it again.
N. Dar.
Yeah.
Under.
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 You got it.
Under her chair.
Okay. You can do one more if you'd like, and you can pick.
All right.
And then it's time for a bit. You're doing very well.
All right. Here's one. All right. This is a Humpty Dumpty story.
Oh, that's an easy one. You've known that for so long. I don't think you're really reading that one. I think you really memorized that one. How about this?
Yeah. All right.
You want to pick that one?
Yeah.
You don't have to, you know. You want to pick it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Willy Winky runs through the town, upstairs and downstairs, in his nightgown. Cracking at the window, crying through the lock, are the children all in bed? For now, it's 8 o'clock.
That's very good. I want to thank you for reading to all the little children out there and for serving as a wonderful example, because you're just an average, normal little girl whom some people have spent an awful lot of time with.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. I'll come in and tuck you in a little bit.
All right.
Okay? Let me have your earphones.
All right. See you later.
Well, folks, there you have it. Children are wonderful, thirsty minds. There's not one child anywhere that will not learn, that doesn't want to learn, whatever you're willing to take the time and the effort to teach them. If we had waited for Pooh to learn anything in school, she would not know how to read for at least 2 to 4 more years. Now think about that. And start teaching your children, yourself, and I don't care how old they are, ladies and gentlemen, they'll get a better education in your home from people who love them and care about them than they will from anyone else, anywhere else, at any time else. I hope that you all understand that. And for those of you who may have doubts that you can do it, believe me, Annie and I and Pooh are no different than any of you. Not at all. Sometimes people make the trek to Arizona thinking they're going to find some great guru, some gigantic hero with a brain full of wisdom that nobody else has, and guess what they find, folks? Just plain old me, just plain old Annie, and this wonderful little plain old girl named Pooh. Just like you, have the same feelings and interests and everything else. And except for the media hype and the public relations personnel and the planted stories and everything else, everybody else in the world is no different, believe me. And I think that's really important that everybody understand. It may not be the best thing in the world for those who are attempting to foist themselves off as being grander than real life, but nevertheless, it happens to be the truth.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of gray, for purple mountain majesties.
Ladies and gentlemen, last night's broadcast was really something, and I've been hearing about it from all over the place, and I'm pleased that you all enjoyed it. It's one part that threw me for a loop, though, because, and I want to explain that, when Larry Myers first came out with his accusation that somehow the Hour of the Time was responsible for the Oklahoma City bombing, because... And the reason he did it, let's make no bones about it, was because he was exposed on this broadcast for what he is. And we backed it up with facts. And we also read Sherman Skolnick's expose of Mr. Larry Myers, Trojan Horse par excellence. So he felt he had to do something. And he made up this story that the Hour of the Time was Timothy McVeigh's favorite radio broadcast, and that somehow we were responsible for the Oklahoma City bombing. Well, in the first place, it's not true. As you heard last night, Timothy McVeigh did listen to the Hour of the Time, but it wasn't his favorite broadcast, and most of the time they were not able to get this broadcast because of atmospheric conditions and so on and so forth. And I got a... message from our Oklahoma station chief today. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "Hey, great show last night. As soon as you were off the air, my phone was a-ringing. All calls were positive in response, and everybody thought it was great that James was on your show. I must admit I was pretty surprised about James's response to your question about McVeigh listening to the Hour of the Time. It was quite a bit different than the answer he gave me when I asked him the same thing. But I did word the question somewhat differently, and prefaced it with the comments about how Myers had been trying to turn the radio show into some kind of a reason for the bombing. James, of course, said that that was ridiculous, that McVeigh had heard the program but was not a regular listener, but that he, James, had liked the show so much he ordered tapes of the IRS programs. It wasn't until last December that James made any move at all to get a decent shortwave antenna because he said their reception was so crummy. In any event, it was certainly useful to have him make his own comments about things. I'm delighted that he's going to subscribe to Veritas for himself, Terry and Tim. They'll all benefit greatly from the subscription." So, just thought I'd clear that up a little bit. Because based upon what James Nichols had told Michelle, I had done a previous show reiterating what he had told her. So last night's response was a surprise, but after a couple of additional questions last night, then it became a little more clear. But I wanted to read you that just in case somebody out there was still a little confused. I hope everybody listens to the Hour of the Time. Even Tim McVeigh and Terry Nichols. I'm a real American. They haven't been convicted of anything yet. And in my American idealism, they are innocent until proven guilty. I don't care what anybody says. And when they're proven guilty, then and only then they're guilty. But I happen to have investigated this much more than all of you listening out there, except maybe two or three. And I can assure you that the government is going to have a hard time convicting any of those, either of those two men, of anything based upon what evidence they have at the present time. And we know what that is. Also based upon the fact that if their attorney do their job, they're going to expose the government and the government personnel as the biggest liars that have ever existed upon the face of this earth. I can assure you of that also. So don't be too hasty to judge those two men. We don't know whether they had anything to do with it or not. We have suspicions. We have all kinds of emotional feelings. We have drawn conclusions based upon what other people have said, but nobody knows. No one. And that, dear listeners, is the truth. And now, you heard that wonderful little girl at the beginning of this broadcast. I get all the time communications and letters from some of the most ignorant, stupid, uneducated, misled, manipulated people that probably exist upon the face of this earth. They are racists. They believe that their white race is superior to all other races. And all of their letters belie their professed Christianity, for they all profess that they are Christians. Some profess that they are pastors or ministers or, as some put it, men of the cloth. But they're all liars. They don't know anything about Christianity. They are little people, insecure, sexually inadequate, afraid of their own shadows, and paranoid beyond belief. They claim the Bible is the inspired word of God and cannot be in error. And then in their own teachings, they call the Bible a liar. They call Jesus Christ a liar. They change the meaning of words. And they deceive many hundreds, maybe a couple of thousand of people, but I can assure you no more than that. Because their numbers are very, very small. Thank God. I'm going to read you an example of a communication that was just sent to me by a man who calls himself a pastor. He claims that he has a flock of sheep that he teaches, and I'm going to tell his flock of sheep that he is telling the truth. If you're following this man, you are sheep. Not just sheep, but sheeple. You're following the Judas goat into the bottomless pit. For, remember, the father of lies, according to their own teachings, makes no matter what I believe, according to their own teachers, their own teachings, by their own teachers, their own pastors, ministers, men of the cloth. The father of all lies is Satan. The great deceiver is Satan, who will deceive even the elect. If you are following these people, you are following the deceiver. Listen to what this pastor, this leader of this church, sent to me. Listen very carefully. I'm not going to change one word. So if you have sensitive ears, if your ears might get insulted, leave the room now or turn off your radio. because this pastor is a vile, obscene person. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Quote, Cooper, you're nothing but a race-mixing asshole. You know that the children, and in parentheses, he has kids, you raise with your non-white bitch will bring you nothing but bastards. A bastard shall not enter the kingdom of God. If you think that anything you have to say will cause us to change our beliefs or stop others from accepting their identity, you're more of an asshole than I believed already. Believe me, when the time is right, the noose will fit around your neck with no problem. Go back to licking the assholes of your Jewish masters, you dirty pig. End quote. This is a man who claims to be a Christian pastor. His name is Pastor August Byron Kreese, spelled K-R-E-I-S, the third. Pastor August Byron Kreese, the third. And after a comma, it says, teacher of Yahweh. He doesn't even know who Yahweh is. And that's unfortunate. You see, in the Bible that he says is the inspired word of God, that cannot be wrong, never contradicts itself, and from which he quotes from profusely to support his position, there is Elohim, there is Adonai, and there is Jehovah, but there is no Yahweh. Now, don't get me wrong, there was a Yahweh. And we're going to be getting into that extensively. He says, Jehovah, R, as the translation really goes, Yahweh, is false. And that the Bible lies about that. And then he quotes the Bible to prove his position. And doesn't do a very good job of it. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. In fact, he doesn't even understand the English language. Let's analyze this message that this brilliant Christian teacher has sent to me. And we'll skip the name calling, for that's obvious, only ignorant people who cannot put forth an intelligent position attack people's character. It's because they can't deal with the facts. It says, you know that the children, in parentheses, kids are baby goats. And while the followers of Satan may have kids, we have children. And then he says, you raise with your non-white bitch. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a bitch is a female dog. We have one dog. His name is Sugar Bear. He is a male. So he can't be talking about our family. But Sugar Bear is sort of non-white. He has white patches and dark patches and sort of silver places in between. But nevertheless, he's not a bitch. So this poor fellow seems to be confused. First he talks about goats, and now he's talking about white female dogs. He said, we'll bring you nothing but bastards. And bastards, ladies and gentlemen, according to every dictionary and every definition I've ever seen or heard from anyone or read, is a child born out of wedlock. Annie and I were married on July the 4th. July the 4th. 1989, and Pooh was born on May the 30th, 1990. In no way, shape, or form, and under no definition, does she fit the term bastard. So again, I don't know who this guy's talking about. The kingdom of God. And again, that is a lie. He will profess that the Bible says that, but the Bible does not say that at all. Let me tell you what the Bible does say about who's going to enter the kingdom of God, so that we can put this poor little fellow straight. And maybe, if he's listening, he will seek help for his poor, deranged mind. It says in verses, let me see here, in Romans 2, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" That's from verses 13 through 15. And then it goes on in verses 19 through 21. "You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either." And in verse 23, "And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." And then, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And if you don't know what that means, it means there is no separation for those who have accepted Christ, and for whom Christ is their Savior. There are no divisions, no partitions, no racial boundaries, no bastards versus born in wedlock, no nation separations when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. And he says again in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Again, it's taken away the enmity, the division, the anger, the separation. And then, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." Wow. And here is not the topper, but it's probably the best one to quote to people who have trouble understanding English. "For it is clear as a bell, and it rings when it is quoted."
Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 and 29, and I quote, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise," end quote. If you want to follow the great father of lies and the great deceiver, by all means, do so. But when you hear the truth on this broadcast, don't attack my wife and my children. If you want to attack me, you go right ahead, for I'm used to it. And I'm a big boy now. But only sniveling little wimp cowards with no brains, no sense, and no social graces whatsoever, and certainly not Christians or pastors or ministers or men of the cloth, attack women and innocent little children who have never harmed anyone in their entire lives. And as for hanging me with rhetoric like this, sending messages like this, claiming to be a Christian and a pastor, claiming that you are representing God and Jesus Christ, you have hung yourself, not me. And anyone who attacks women and innocent little children in an effort to get at me hasn't got the balls to hang me or put a noose around my neck, and never will. And should perchance you ever attempt it, I can assure you that everyone in my neighborhood, everyone in this town, will do everything in the world to stop you before you even reach even close to my home. If you make it to my home and you try to attempt to even harm one hair on the head of any of my family, I will kill you dead in your tracks. And that is a promise. And don't for one moment ever in your wildest dreams think that that is an idle boast.
Oh, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, through the ocean white with foam, God bless America, my
God.
ladies and gentlemen, I want to read this to you from the introduction in my book so that you'll know that what I just said, I mean, for I've said it many times before, and I said it right here in my book. And I'm going to quote, beginning on page 2, right to the end on page 4 of the introduction. And from this, you will know who I am and what I'm about and what I'm prepared to do in defense of my principles and ideals. And I mean every single word of it. I have never wavered for one moment, and I never will. And I quote, there have been many related sequential coincidences throughout all my life, incidents that by themselves would have led nowhere. Statistically, the odds against the same or a related sequence of events happening to one individual are astronomically high against. It is this series of incidents that have convinced me that God has had a hand in my life. I do not believe in fate. I do not believe in accidents. I cannot and will not accept the theory that long sequences of unrelated accidents determine world events. It is inconceivable that those with power and wealth would not band together with a common bond, a common interest, and a long-range plan to decide and direct the future of the world. For those with the resources to do otherwise would be totally irresponsible. I know that I would be the first to organize a conspiracy to control the outcome of the future if I were such a person and a conspiracy did not yet exist. I would do it in an attempt to ensure the survival of the principles in which I believe, the survival of my family, my survival, and the survival of the human race, if for no other reason. I believe, therefore, that a grand game of chess is being played on a level that we can barely imagine, and we are the pawns. Pawns are valuable only under certain circumstances and are frequently sacrificed to gain an advantage. Anyone who has studied military strategy is familiar with the concept of sacrifice. Those who have seriously studied history have probably discovered the real reason we go to war on a regularly scheduled basis. And if I might interject here, this is not in the book, this is sort of an aside. It's because of people who wrote the message that I just read to you on the air, that wars are often fought and people are often killed for nothing. Following fools who twist facts and words and Bibles and teachings to garner followers who will then go out and be their cannon fodder so that they can reap some benefit. And now I continue reading from the book. Before reading this book, I advise you to play at least 2 complete games of chess. You must learn the rules they play by. You must realize objectively that some pieces are more valuable than others, and that the king is the most valuable of all. You cannot learn reality if you get caught up in the fantasy that it's not fair. You must come to know that the ultimate outcome of the game is the only thing that counts. You were lied to when you were told, it does not matter whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game, Johnny. For winning in the world of the elite is everything. Indeed, it is the only thing. And the power elite intend to win. My research has shown at this point that the future laid out for us may be just about impossible to change. I do not agree with the means by which the powerful few have chosen for us to reach the end. I do not agree that the end is where we should end at all. But unless we can wake the people from their sleep, nothing short of civil war will stop the planned outcome. I base that statement not on defeatism, but on the apathy of the majority of the American people. 25 years ago, which would be about 31 years now, I would have believed otherwise. But 25 years ago, I was also sound asleep. We have been taught lies. Lies. Reality is not at all what we perceive it to be. We cannot survive any longer by hanging on to the falsehoods of the past. Reality must be discerned at all costs if we are to be a part of the future. Truth. Truth must prevail in all instances, no matter who it hurts or helps, if we are to continue to live upon this earth. At this point, what we want may no longer matter. It is what we must do to ensure our survival that counts. The old way is in the certain process of destruction, and a new world order is beating down the door. To cling to the past is guaranteed suicide. To remain apathetic is assured enslavement. To learn the truth and then act upon it is the only means of survival at this moment. To shrug off the information contained in this book and to disregard its warning will result in the complete destruction of the Republic of the United States of America. You will never, never get a second warning or a second chance. Like it or not, this is it, stark reality. You can no longer turn your head, ignore it, pretend it's not true, say, it can't happen to me, run or hide. The wolf is at the door. I fear for the little ones, the innocents, who are already paying for our mistakes. There exists a great army of occupationally orphaned children. They're attending government-controlled daycare centers, and latchkey kids who are running wild in the streets, and the lopsided, emotionally wounded children of single welfare mothers born only for the sake of more money in the monthly check. Open your eyes and look at them. Look at them, for they, not you, they are the future. And in them I see the sure and certain destruction of this once proud nation. In their vacant eyes I see the death of freedom. They carry with them a great emptiness, and someone will surely pay a great price for their suffering. If we do not act in concert with each other and ensure that the future becomes what we need it to be, then we will surely deserve whatever fate awaits us. I believe with all my heart that God put me in places and in positions throughout my life so that I would be able to deliver this warning to His people. I pray that I have been worthy and that I have done my job. This is my creed. I believe first in God, the same God in which my ancestors believed. I believe in Jesus Christ and that He is my Savior. Second, I believe in the Constitution of the Republic of the United States of America, without interpretation, as it was written and meant to work. I have given my sacred oath to protect and defend the Constitution for the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I intend to fulfill that oath. Third, I believe in the family unit, and in particular, my family unit. I have sworn that I will give my life, if it is required, in defense of God, the Constitution, or my family. Fourth, I believe that any man without principles that he is ready and willing to die for at any given moment is already dead and is of no use or consequence whatsoever. I wrote that and signed it on August the 3rd, 1990 at Camp Verde, Arizona. Now, there's one thing that sorely troubles me, ladies and gentlemen. I have put my life on the line. I have suffered attacks, brutal physical attacks, verbal attacks, every kind of attack that you can think of or name, vile, despicable, obscene attacks from vile, despicable, worm-like creatures who call themselves men and women. In defense of our freedoms, in defense of the principles and ideals which made this country the greatest and freest and most opportune, most well-educated country, with a people that had the highest standard of living of any people in any country upon the face of this earth. And at one time, we were the most well-educated people, bar none. It pains me deeply when I know that many of you who listen to this broadcast and who believe what I believe and who know what I have gone through for all of us hear or see me being attacked and say and do nothing. See and hear my children and my wife being attacked, who have done nothing but serve you faithfully, and do and say nothing. And when that happens, I know that your character, your resolve, your personality, and your willingness to stand up for what is right is no better than those who are doing the attacking. No better than the scum from which the sewers flow. No better than Pastor August Byron Kreese III, the so-called teacher of Yahweh. The same person who claims that the Bible is infallible, the inspired word of God, and says that Jehovah isn't supposed to be in there. I wonder what kind of double talk that is. It's called speaks with forked tongue. A lot of people in this country profess to be patriots, don't even know the meaning of the word. Don't understand what freedom means. And frankly, my dear Scarlett, I don't even think they give a damn. In fact, from their actions and their words, I know quite well that they don't. And if any of them ever came to power, you can rest assured that their government and their world order would be much worse than that Clinton has ever planned for anyone. So I'm going to tell you right now, and I hope you're listening to me, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. really don't want freedom, put the chains on your own feet. Call Clinton, tell him you're ready. Call the FBI, BATF, tell them you're ready. If you understand freedom and you care about the human race, then stand up and be counted. Stand up here on the battlefield beside me. And when somebody shoots at me or my family, you shoot back at them just as I shoot back when they shoot at you. And if you can't do that, get off the battlefield. Because if you get in front of me on this battlefield, I'll shoot you. With words, with books, with radio broadcasts. And if it comes to it eventually and I'm forced to, yes, even with bullets. Now, for those of you who understand what I've told you in this broadcast, let's get some action going. For those of you who don't, go back to sleep. Turn off your radio. Don't turn it on again. Don't bother us. And for the stupid, ignorant fools of the world who send me these kinds of messages, I will continue to expose you and shine the light in the dark corners where you cockroaches hide, so the whole world can watch you scurry for cover. Because that's all you really are. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't care who you are. I hope that God will bless you and bring you the truth.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me. And I'd rather stand up next to you than to take her still today. But there ain't no doubt I love this man. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston.